If you have some area of life where you keep feeling an area of weakness that Satan keeps defeating you, one of the wisest things you can do is to find a friend, someone who will be confidential with you about what you share with them.
This is In Touch, the daily teaching ministry of Charles Stanley. Most of us prefer to keep our weaknesses and failures a secret. On this Thursday edition of In Touch, we learn how an open, honest friendship is our best self-defense against temptation. Now, it may be difficult to see how sharing your shortcomings will help you overcome those weaknesses, but it's through honesty and openness that you develop accountability and its partner, personal integrity. So if you continually struggle with the same temptation, stay with us and learn to defeat Satan's enticements through a strong relationship with friends. Listen closely as Dr. Stanley opens God's Word and offers instruction on winning the war within.
Overcoming temptation never has been easy, and it probably never will be. And there'll never come a time in your life where you are no longer tempted by anything. There are no plateaus, no spiritual plateaus, whereby you and I can escape from all temptation. So what we have to do is to learn how to deal with it in order to overcome it. There's not going to be anyone who can give you a 1-2-3 step on how to overcome temptation, and you're going to have victory every single time. In order to learn how to overcome temptation, you have to acknowledge the fact that sometimes you're going to fail. And those of us who are believers who really want to overcome temptation will learn by our failures as well as by our victories. Paul gives us in this one verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the two basic foundational principles for overcoming all temptation. And if you recall what he says in this 13th verse, he says, "No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it." And here are those two basic foundational principles. Number one, for all of us who are believers, in every single temptation, God has set a divine limitation on the nature of that temptation and on the intensity of it. That is, Satan does not have a free hand to tempt the child of God. God has set a limitation on all temptation in the life of the believer. The intensity of it can only be to such a degree. The second basic foundational truth is this. Along with every single temptation, God has already, prior to the temptation, made a way to escape so that you and I do not have to yield. There's nothing that can force us to yield to temptation. We do not fall into temptation. We choose to yield or not to yield. The Bible says in that verse also that God is faithful. That means that you can always depend upon Him, number one, to set a divine limitation on the intensity of that temptation. Secondly, with the temptation, He'll always make a way of escape so that there'll always be a way out without yielding to the temptation. Now, the question you and I have to ask is this. Do I really want to overcome temptation? Do I really want a way out? Do I really want to have victory? Or am I willing to yield to that temptation and pay the consequences? What we're discussing in this message is setting up our defenses against temptation. Now, in order to catch you up to date, you who may have tuned in for the first time, we've mentioned at least six already that we can look at in the Scriptures and see as positive steps that you and I can take to build our defenses against temptation. You don't build your enticements against toward evil. Temptation, those enticements for us to use these God-given gifts to go beyond the set limitations that God has set upon us. That's what all temptation's all about. Misusing right, good, God-given gifts. He says in the Scripture that there are several ways to build our defenses, and you don't wait till you get in the middle of it to start building it. Number one is spiritual alertness. He said to His disciples there in the Garden of Gethsemane, He says, watch and pray. Secondly, positive God-centered praying, not temptation-centered praying, but God-centered praying. And then as Jesus responded when he was tempted, that is, responding to temptation with the Word of God, the spirit of humility, lest we fall because of our pride, fleeing temptation and resisting by faith. Which brings me to the seventh, and I want to give you the last four, and we start with this one today, and that is the spirit of accountability. One of the wisest things you and I can do to defend ourselves against temptation is to build accountability with someone else. So let me make a suggestion to you that I know will work. It's worked in my own life. It's worked in the lives of other people with whom I have suggested it. If you have some area of life where you keep feeling an area of weakness that Satan keeps defeating you, one of the wisest things you can do is to find a friend, someone in whom you can express your confidence, someone who will be confidential with you about what you share with them, someone with whom you can be open and honest, above board, someone that you feel that you can share your gut-level feelings and they won't criticize you. They won't say, "Aren't you ashamed? I just can't imagine you thinking of doing such thing." But someone who can accept you just the way you are, who will prove to be an encourager in your life. The truth is, all of us need encouragers. All of us need to be honest and open at a gut-level feeling. All of us need to be able to share our weaknesses, our failures, our times of desperation. We all need to be able to feel that someone will hear us out without judging us. Now, if you'll find someone like that and be able to say to that person, "Here's an area of my life in which I don't seem to be doing too well. In spite of all of my efforts, I keep failing. And I need some encouragement, and I would like to have someone that I could be accountable to. That is, someone I'm going to have to be responsible to, that I'm going to have to face up to about this given area of my life." And more than likely, that person's going to say to you, "Well, you know, I've been looking for somebody the same way because there are areas of my life that I feel weak in." So let's say, for example, that the two of you meet once a week or every 2 weeks, and you sit down and you share what's been going on in your life. It does not have to be regimented. It doesn't have to be organized. You don't have to have a bunch of paper and a bunch of notes. But what you're going to do is just to share what the Lord is doing in your life with each other. But you've got to be willing to be open enough to share your failures. Well, let me tell you what happened. Last week, I blew it. I just knew I wasn't going to, but I did. And so the person says to you, "Well, what was going on before you blew it? Before you yielded to temptation, what were you thinking?" And you see, here's what happens. As you begin to share with each other, the other person will get insights into areas of weakness in your life, and after a while they pick up little patterns. And you see, you and I cannot look at ourselves as other people see us. We can't judge ourselves as wisely as someone else who is wise can judge us. Because they see from our lifestyle, our perspective, things that we say, and so oftentimes when I'm talking with someone or listening to them, they'll say just a little phrase that gives me the whole key to the root of the problem. All of us need someone we can share with. And so what you do by building accountability with someone else, making yourself vulnerable to the other person, being willing to admit your failures, being willing to admit your faults, and being willing to have the other person correct you, being willing to have the other person to correct you in love, what you do is you build your defenses against temptation. Now, the Bible says pride goes before a fall. I've seen some great men of God. I've seen some fine, wonderful people who've crashed in their life for one primary reason, because they were too proud to admit they needed help. The truth is, all of us need somebody to share with. All of us have our weaknesses. All of us fail at times, and all of us need to be honest and open and above board about what God is doing in our life or about what Satan is trying to do in our life. And here's what happens. You cheat the devil. Listen to this. You cheat the devil out of some of his power when you begin to open up with someone you can trust. Because you see, part of his power in your life is that you're having to keep these things or these temptations a secret. So when you begin to share with someone, you don't have to say, "I did this with this person," or this, that, and the other, but you're willing to share the nature of your weakness, the nature of your failure, the nature of the temptation. You don't ever want to incriminate anyone else. You don't ever want to expose anyone else or to embarrass someone. You're not talking about other people. You're talking about yourself. You're talking about what Satan's done in your life, how God's working in your life, how God's giving you the victory today, but you failed yesterday. You're talking about what God is doing at this time in your life. As you begin to do that and open and share and get it out of the closet before God and before someone else, what you do is you cheat the devil out of his powerful tool of trying to remind you how guilty you are and keep it under a cloak of secrecy. As you get it out and begin to share it, you begin to be open. You begin to be able to see yourself from a whole different perspective. You begin to view your weaknesses and your failures. You begin to see your temptations in a more honest, open, accurate, precise, exacting fashion, because now you're able to get it out there and look at it and see it for what it's worth. God wants us all to be willing to be accountable to each other. Now look, if you will, in Galatians chapter 6 for a moment. The 6th chapter of Galatians, in the first two verses, listen to what Paul says. He says, "Brethren, even if a man or a woman is caught in any trespass, any blunder or fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one." That is, like resetting a broken bone. "Restore such a one to the former condition in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, lest you too be tempted." So one of the wisest things you and I can do is to have someone with whom we can share, someone with whom we can be open. And you see, he says, this is a responsibility of a believer. When we see someone who is having a problem in some area, he says, we're to restore that one. It may be that you may feel led. Now, you have to be very, very careful at this point. It is much better if someone comes to you and says, "You know, I need some help." But if there is someone that you see struggling, really struggling, offer yourself as an encourager, never as a judge, never as a critic, but as an encourager. And you offer yourself gently, wisely, never forcefully, never putting yourself upon someone, never embarrassing them or trying to incriminate them, but you are simply offering yourself as a servant. He says when we see someone who is in need, we have the responsibility of restoring them in a spirit of gentleness, lest we too, who also have our weaknesses, remember that we too could fall and fail just as quickly and maybe more dramatic so than the other person. We are accountable, and the reason for accountability is protection. Did you hear that? The reason for accountability is protection. Here's what he's saying. He is giving a warning, recognizing that we are accountable to each other. And listen, Paul says one of the wisest ways that you and I can defend ourselves against temptation is understand the meaning of accountability, become accountable to someone. Now you say, well, when you're talking about finding a friend, you're talking about husbands and wives, sometimes that may be it, but sometimes you may need some more neutral friend who can be totally unbiased with you, who will be an encourager. I believe every parent, listen to me carefully, one of the wisest things you can do as a parent is to encourage your daughter to find some godly woman, your son to find some godly man with whom they can open and share their heart and share their life unhesitatingly. Because sometimes our children do not want to share everything with parents. It would be embarrassing to them sometimes. They don't know sometimes how you and I would respond. We may respond properly. We may not respond properly. And so they need someone. And one of the wisest things you can do is to encourage your children to have a godly man or woman with whom they can share their heart. Someone who's a little older than they are, with whom they can share. It doesn't mean they cannot share with someone more their age, but I believe in those years, those teenage years, when they're going through great difficulty and some things they don't know how to share with their parents, if they have a wise, godly man or woman with whom they can share, will be one of the greatest blessings your children can ever experience. Now, it may be that you are one of those godly men or women who ought to be willing to give some time if some young person said to you, "You know, there's some times when some things I don't want to share with my parents. I don't know how to share with them. Some parents, the kids can't share with them. And I wonder if you would just be willing to be my friend and just let me open my heart to you once in a while." I want to tell you, you'd have one of the greatest ministries in preserving and keeping and preventing disaster in some young person's life. Accountability is a God-given gift that he's given to us in the church. And my friend, don't ever be too proud to say that you need help. Don't ever be too proud to say you have a weakness. Don't ever be too proud to say you're undergoing temptation and you need some encouragement, because God will send into your life someone who will help you and preserve you. But in the process of doing so, you'll become a blessing to the other person. So, one way to build our defenses is to build them by building an accountable relationship with someone else. The second thing that I want you to notice here is what Paul admonished us to do in Ephesians chapter 6 when he talked about spiritual armor. If you'll turn there for just a moment, I want you to notice something in this 6th chapter of Ephesians in the first 3 verses, 10, 11, and 12, what Paul says about our warfare, because the truth is our warfare comes in the form of temptation. He says in verse 10, "Finally be strong in the Lord, in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." Now, how does he scheme against us? He schemes by manipulating us into certain situations and circumstances and then tempting us when we get there. Or his temptations come in the fiery missiles that he refers to in this passage when he talks about the flaming darts of the devil. How do they come? They come in forms of temptation to us. So he says in verse 12, "For our struggle," and all of us struggle at times, "our struggle is not against flesh and blood, though your temptation may come in that form, but in essence," he says, "the struggle is against rulers, powers, world forces, darkness," and notice he says against these spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That is, the truth is, all of us are in a warfare. All of us have to deal with temptations and faults and failures and struggles and weaknesses in our life. And my friend, it does not make you less than a person. It does not make you less than spirit-filled. It doesn't make you less than holy, less than righteous for you to admit to someone you have a weakness, a failure, a fault, or a sin in your life that's bugging you and Satan is getting a victory. The admission and the confession of it is the first step toward conquering it, whatever it might be. Now, you know, this passage of Scripture here is known to most of us, and all of us probably can name the armor, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, loins girt about with truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and above all, he says, praying always with all prayer and petition and intercession. Now, Paul did not give us this passage for us to look at, read, and forget. In fact, he spent all of these verses, and he did it in such a descriptive fashion, in order that those Ephesian readers could never forget. When he said, "Put on the full armor of God, take up the full armor," he knew that they understood fully what a Roman soldier looked like. They knew about his helmet, they knew about his leather, and sometimes covered with metal breastplate, this which held the girdle, which held everything else into place and protected the joints here. They knew all about that short sword, and they knew about two kinds of shields they had, sometimes a round, small shield, but most of the time, that large shield, thuros in the Greek, which is the same word we get the word door from, in which a Roman soldier could kneel and put that shield behind him, bow down, and he could be absolutely and totally covered by the shield. He says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench, ricochet off, all the fiery missiles of temptation that come from the devil. Paul didn't say, "I suggest," but it might be possibly a good idea if you think about the idea that you could put on some spiritual armor. No, he said, "Put it on," because he took 3 verses to describe an enemy that is against, firing those missiles of temptation. We are in a spiritual warfare, in a battle, every single day of our life. So he said, one way to build your defense is put on the whole armor of God. Now, let me remind you, when you were saved, you got the full armor as a gift. You got it as a gift. So what does Paul mean here? He means that you and I are to be aware of, and I believe it is a good idea when you get out of the bed in the morning or before you get out of the bed, to reaffirm and just visualize in your own mind, putting on the helmet of salvation and thanking God he's going to protect your thinking today. Your mind is the playground of Satan. That's where all the battles are won and lost. They're not lost in your feet, your hands, your eyes, your ears, your mouth. All of our battles are lost in our mind. That's the devil's playground. All of our temptations, that's where they come. All of our failures, we fail first in our mind before we fail in any other part of our body. So I put on the helmet of salvation to protect my thinking. Father, today I want to put on the breastplate of righteousness so that I will not respond today out of my emotions, out of my feelings. I want to protect that. I put on the girdle of truth because I want to respond to life today out of the truth of who I am in Christ Jesus and what I know God says is true about me. I shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, because wherever I go, I want to be able to share the good news, the freeing, liberating power of Jesus Christ. The one part that is both offensive and defensive is the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is part of my defense, but also part of my offense. And above all, Father, today, I take the shield of faith. I'm going to live today by faith, trusting you to protect me. Now there is a third thing that I want you to jot down, and that is, when you and I are building our defenses against the devil, that is affirming who we are in Christ. That is affirming our true identity. Who does God say you are? The Bible says, God says that you are a child of the living God, that you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, that you are a purchased possession of Jesus Christ. Your name has been inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. He says that you are a very special person and loved unconditionally, that you have been purchased by the blood of the only sinless person who's ever lived, that He loved you so much He sent the Lord Jesus Christ, who was God, is God, always will be, always has been God, in the flesh to die on the cross for your sin and mine, that He atoned for all of your sin, past, present, and future, that you are redeemed, liberated, free, living child of God, and you are bound for heaven. The resurrection, the gift of the resurrection, is part of your life. You will never be buried in anybody's grave. You are somebody very, very special to God.
With those encouraging truths from Scripture, Charles Stanley closes today's study on Winning the War Within. Today he focused on the keys to our self-defense, keys that transform us from victim to victor. If you are challenged and encouraged by Dr. Stanley's teaching on this radio program, then you'll also be interested in another avenue that leads to spiritual growth, and that's the In Touch magazine. This free publication will help you discover how Jesus Christ can make a difference in your life. Each issue contains instructive articles by In Touch speaker Dr. Charles Stanley. There's also a section that each day encourages you to read, think about, and apply the truths of God's Word. To receive this resource at your home, mention the In Touch magazine when you write. Our address is In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Once again, that's In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. If you spend time on the Internet, be sure to visit our website to find many helpful resources, as well as a replay of today's message on Real Audio. Our address is intouch.org. Are you facing intense temptation? Is the pressure to give in almost overwhelming? When you encounter situations like that, remember that we have a Savior who can sympathize with our weakness, and He stands with us to help us. Remember that greater is He who is in us, that's Jesus, than he who is in the world. Do you see yourself as a sinner saved by grace, or as a saint in God's kingdom? God views us as saints, trophies of His grace, and members of His family. When we see ourselves as God sees us, we understand that sin does not fit who we are in Christ, a truth that Charles Stanley explains as a key ingredient in our self-defense against temptation. Don't miss this important message Friday on In Touch. Touching the world with a passion for God and compassion for people, Charles Stanley's teaching is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.